人生是一本书，每一段时光都是一段难忘的故事。
就让我们在此刻分享我们的故事。欢迎收听西雅图中文广播美国故事栏目。
美国故事栏目由高邦地产公司总裁建筑商胡秀平 Shelly Hu 冠名播出，电话425-443-5668。
亲爱的听众朋友们晚上好，欢迎收听西雅图中文电台美国故事栏目，我是小袁。今天我们非常有幸的请到 Billings 市的市长 Jimmy Mada、欢迎 Jimmy 参加我们的节目。
Welcome to American Story every Wednesday night on Chinese Radio Seattle. We're very honored today to have Mayor Jimmy Mada come to our show.
Welcome, Jimmy. 首先我向大家介绍一下Jimmy Mada 市长啊。那 Jimmy Mada 呢，他是1998年开始住在 Billings 这个城市的。那么他是出生在爱达荷这个州，他是一位那个移民跟那个当地农民的儿子啊。那么之后他搬到 Billings 之后呢，就从事那个建筑，还有那个就是主要是作为一个建筑开发商啊。那么2017年他当选为 Billings 市的市议员，2019年。被选为Billings 市的市长。我非常有幸请到Jimmy Mada先生参加我们节目。
Our host just briefly introduced you to our listeners, and he said that you came to the city of Billings in 1998, and you worked in the construction field, and you became council member, city council, Burien city council member in 2017, and you are elected as the mayor of city Burien in 2019. Welcome to our show.
Now, hello everybody. Hola. My name is Jimmy Mata, I'm the mayor of the city of Burien. I want to congratulate 1150 AM, the radio station, Chinese radio, because you just had your anniversary, and I was very pleased and very blessed to be celebrating with you. Congratulations. I think it's a celebration not only to the people here at the radio station, but also to the community as a whole.
Jimmy 市长他说大家好，他很高兴能够来到我们的节目做客，那他也祝贺我们的西雅图中文电台生日快乐。他说这不仅是一个中国人的这个节日的一个节目电台的庆典，也是我们整个华人社区和我们整个这个社会作为一个整体的一个值得庆祝的节日。
Congratulations, thank you.
Thank you. 我们两年前采访过Mada 市长啊，然后我们很想知道您就是担任市长以来有没有什么特别的经验跟经历跟我们分享一下。
Jimmy, we have interviewed you 2 years ago, and we would like to know over the last 2 years, what is your experience, or as a mayor of Burien, you would like to share with us?
Well, there's been a lot of, you know, things that have happened ever since I was back on the radio. You know, I got a chance to be in Beijing. It was just a very happy experience for me. I never thought in my life that I would get to travel to China. It's actually fulfilled one of my dreams. My second dream is to see the Great Wall of China. But yeah, there's been a lot of growth politically and also, you know, emotionally. And just as a human being, you know, going through this pandemic, it's almost been almost two years. It's been very difficult. Not only for my family, for community members in my city, and also across the country, you know, as we've seen this pandemic bring just the awfulness of people against our Chinese community. And, you know, when this pandemic hit our streets, not only did it create death in our streets, but it also created some hate against our Chinese and Asian community. It's been a tough year and a half, and some of us are still here, and I want to give my greatest sympathy for those families that have lost their loved ones during this pandemic in the last couple of years.
说呢，在自从他上次来中文电台做客以来，这个两年多呢，发生了很多事情。那他呢去了北京，去了中国，他感到非常开心，这是完成他的一个梦想。那他的第二个梦想呢，就是到长城去玩，那他也实现了。那他说这两年多来呢，不仅在 政治上和个人，还有在个人的这个作为一个人吧，个人情感上都有了很多的成长。那么这两年来呢是比较一个困难的，经历了一些困难，就是不仅他的家庭、他的社区、整个全国也碰到了遭遇了一些困难，尤其是在这个疫情期间呢，很多人经历了一些很糟糕的事情。他说，大家不仅对，尤其是对亚裔的这个群体，人们出现了沮丧、失望，甚至于有一些仇恨的亚裔的情绪出来。他想表达对那些失去家人，就是在疫情当中失去家人、遭遇困难的这个家庭、社区，表示他非常大的同情。
您担任，比如是的市议员之前是，工会的劳工的领袖。那么，担任市长之后，是不是跟就走向了对立面？是不是就是，因为，工会总是要跟政府谈判的，然后您现在是代表政府，那您能不能跟我们，分享一下您作为一个，
Okay, that's an interesting thing. Before you were elected as a city mayor, you were a leader of the union labor. So now, after you were elected and you become the representative of the government, so there's usually a lot of negotiations happen between the union and the government. Is there anything you can share with us?
Well, I think not only am I an ex-union leader, I love the working class in America. You know, I believe that in any country, the people that are the working class that work are willing to work the 18, 20 hours a day are what makes an economy flourish. As we can see in China, and in the years that China has been working hard at it, not only government, but the people, right? Because the people is who makes an economy work. And as a business owner now, you know, as a labor leader, now I'm a business owner, I have to keep the fine balance between making sure that profits don't come over people. And so to me, it's very important to make sure that we find that balance. In fact, just recently, as you've heard in King County, carpenters have went out on strike. I'm a carpenter. That's where I represented the union. I build buildings with my hands, and I became a business owner. Not only am I a business owner, but I'm also a political figure as a person that is a Latino, a brown man. And so I have an obligation to the people that I represent, which is our Asian community, our Black community, our Latino community, and also the poor white community that's still a working class in this country. And so I think that to me, it's been finding the balance between worker profits and community. You know, I think that in Washington, the economy, we're like San Francisco's economy, where the question is, are we finding that balance with, you know, the tech industry and artificial intelligence? I mean, that's where China, the United States, and the whole world is heading, is technology and when it comes to artificial intelligence. And so I'm very happy to be here in Washington, where we understand the importance of not only farm labor in Eastern Washington, we understand the importance of technology, we understand the importance of you know, basically artificial intelligence. And we understand that an economy needs to work for everybody, but there is a, you know, numbers don't lie. And you know, when we see people on strike in downtown Seattle, Bellevue and King County, it's because there is a, there's a disparity with those who are ultra rich to those that are just mom and pop shops, like in the International District and here in Burien, where I represent a lot of, you know, small business, mom and pop, you know, family-owned businesses. To me, it's very important that we do not lose the character of our communities because we're a changing economy. You know, when we came to this country, we came as immigrants, as you know, my mom and dad came here as immigrants to, you know, have a better life for our children. And so now I get to not only not be a farm worker, but I'm also, as a first immigrant in my family, an elected official. It's such a privilege to represent a first generation immigrant family in the United States of America.
Okay. That's quite a bit. I need to
open my sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. 他说呢，作为一个就是工会的领导呢，他很热爱就是工人阶级，靠双手，靠一周干40个小时活，让经济繁荣这样的人，因为他认为，就好像中国政府一样，不仅政府很努力，中国的老百姓也是认真工作，就是勤奋的这个工作才使得中国的经济呢得到繁荣和发展。所以呢，他自己本身也是一个小企业主，所以他一直希望能够建立这种平衡的关系，就是不要让 profit 就是利益从工人身上去剥削他们的这个而得来这个利益。那前不久呢，刚刚这个木匠这个工会呢就组织一场罢工吧，因为他自己也是用自己双手来建造这个大楼或建造建筑的这个人，所以呢他现在又是一个政府的一个这样的一个公务人员，那他身上有很多责任，他代表拉丁裔人，代表亚裔群体，代表非裔群体，他还代表白人当中的比较贫穷的这个群体，工人阶级。所以平衡这样一种各方面的利益，这个社会的各方面的利益对他来说就是非常的重要。当然他觉得我们现在 Washington State 就是华州呢，就像旧金山一样，因为那里有很多高科技的企业，人工智能的发展非常重要，对经济来说很重要。他也认识到我们这里不仅是农场的就是工人很重要，那么高科技技术对每个人来说也很重要。可是现在呢，数据有一些不太平衡，就是有一些企业呢它非常利润丰厚，而有些小企业主他们还在这个挣扎着生存。所以呢他就是希望我们的经济不要失去这些小企业主这些社区的特征，因为这本来就是我们这个美国是个移民社会嘛，很多移民来到这里为了寻求他们更好的生活，所以他要认为建立这种平衡是他现在所想要做的非常重要的事。
我们知道Jimmy 是农民的 Idaho 农民的儿子，然后自己也做过木匠。那么在美国从一个木匠到市长是不是要经历很多的坎啊，就是很多的就是磕磕绊绊。
Jimmy, you are son of Idaho farmer family. Yes, and now you are a city mayor. So from being a carpenter, Burien carpenter, son of a farmer's family, to a city of a Burien mayor. So is there any story between that you have experienced that you can share with us?
Well, I want to thank my mom and dad for making the journey to the United States of America. My mom and dad are from Guatemala. It's a very poor country. It's a country where opportunities aren't as great as in the United States of America. You know, being the son of undocumented immigrants who came to this country in 1974, I was born in 1975, you know, I came to a country where we're redefining what it is to be an American. You know, I'm an American, I'm Latino, but I'm an American. And as an American, you know, I want my Chinese Americans, my Latino Americans, the Afro descent Americans, because in Guatemala we have Afro Latinos, and I want anybody that comes from any other place in the world in the United States to have, you know, the dream and the opportunities of coming to a country that's a country of freedom, to be able to express our speech. And, you know, with freedom comes responsibilities. And my responsibility is to serve the public, to serve everyone. I represent the immigrants, the undocumented, the white, the Latinos, the Black, the America that I want my children to be raised in. You know, there's nowhere else in the world where we can coexist as a community. And I love my Chinese restaurants in King County, Vietnamese food, Thai food, and Chinese food from all over China. And so to me, there's no other place in the world that we can celebrate our differences. I think the biggest thing we're doing here in Burien, and I hope that, may the power above myself allow me to be able to help celebrate a Chinese New Year's in Burien, and I can't wait for that day.
非常感谢他的父母啊，能够来到就是开始这个行程的，能够从危地马拉来到美国，移民到美国。那么他自己的国家呢，他父母的国家呢，危地马拉比较贫穷，那相对来说发展的机会比美国少得多。那他的父母是在1974年的时候作为非法移民来到美国，那他自己呢是在1975年的时候就出生在美国。那他是拉丁裔，但他认为自己完完全全就是一个美国人。那所以他来这里呢，他也就是希望代表任何世界上任何一个地方来到美国这里的人呢，来到美国的人都能够得到他们的自由，言论的自由。那这种言论和表达的自由呢，是来自于责任。那他身上所肩负的责任呢，就是他是服务于公众，因为他是 Burien 市的市长，他要服务于公众。他代表了移民，不管是合法的还是非法，他代表他们，他也代表非裔，他也代表亚裔，那他也代表白人，所以他觉得没有世界上没有更好的一个地方可以让我们这样珍惜我们共处，珍惜我们的差异，哎，共同相处。那他非常喜欢比伦市的中餐馆、泰国餐馆、越南餐馆。那马上过就要中国年，他在比伦市庆祝中国年，他都有些非常盼望啊，非常盼望能够在比伦市庆祝我们的中国新年。
我们知道您支持很多的社区，也支持一些有信仰的组织，那么您在不同的社区，包括华人社区都有很多的朋友，请问您是怎样做到这样的？
We know that you support many community and faith-based organizations and have many friends in different communities, including the Chinese community. How did you accomplish all that?
I think it's because, you know, how do you love someone we don't learn about them? You know, I enjoy the way the Chinese community respects their elders. I enjoy the way the Chinese community congregates and eats together. I enjoy the love that's shown between each family, and that what brings people together is the struggle of, you know, whether it's building your business, whether it's international commerce, whether it's, you know, the pandemic and trying to come together. You know, there's something about our communities, you know, that makes us unique. You know, with the Chinese community, great food, but you go to the Latino community, great food, great music, and just great culture. I think that culture, if we can look at culture through the lens of food, dance, and food, dance, and just cultural dances, we can learn how to love each other. Because I think what happens sometimes is that when we don't know each other, it becomes fearful, right? And to me, you know, going to every community in the community, the food, the stories, you know, I was just a great friend of mine. You know, she was telling me that she came from Northeast China, close to Russia. And she came to the United States and built her business. She has two restaurants. She's about to open up her second one in Bellevue. Like those stories there, that's what I want to help continue to build in our community. It doesn't matter whether we're Chinese, Latino, Black, poor white people in this country. That's what our country was for, is to be able to build, you know, for our future families. And, you know, one of the things that saddens me is just the hate that came out here recently. You know, as the last administration, who was no longer a president now, you know, when he started talking about, you know, they sent us their worst, their rapists, their thieves. That's the Latino community. And he didn't stop there, right? He talked about the virus as a Chinese virus. I mean, how do you build cohesiveness in our society when the top elected official is being brutal to our communities? Look, Latinos and the Asian community are the fastest growing community in King County, in the state, and in the country. So it's to our benefit that Latinos and Asians start really looking at what is it that our communities need. You know, there's this perception that, you know, Asians have a lot of money. They're great at math. They're great at school. That's all perceptions. You know, we've seen that the numbers are horrific when we're looking at the Chinese community and Asian community, how at one time they were, the wealth has continued to dwindle as time goes by. That means that instead of our Asian community continue to climb up, it's plateauing and starting to take a dip down. That's concerning to me. And look, if we're going to build a strong economy, this economy in the United States is Black, Asian, brown, white. It's all of us. We're the American economy. We are one of the top economies in the world. China is the second top economy. So it would be worth the effort of making sure that we, as two strong economies, make sure that we are the bar to the world. We have an obligation, a moral obligation, to all of our countries in the world.
相爱呢，他所以呢，他就是要去了解我们的各个社区的人。那他非常喜欢在中国文化里面，中国这个华人社区啊，比较强调就是尊重老人啊，家庭团聚啊，同甘共苦啊，尤其是在疫情啊，或者是在事业上，大家互相支撑，共度难关。他非常喜欢我们华裔人群有这样的文化。那他也很热爱中国的美食。他说，如果你到拉丁裔这个社区去呢，你会发现他们的美食，他们的音乐。那如果就是说你去了解一个民族的一个社区的文化，从他的音乐啊、舞蹈啊这方面去了解，你就可以就更增进对他们的了解，从而能够喜欢他们。如果没有了解，如果没有这种互相的了解，那我们可能会有这种害怕对方的感觉，因为由于陌生而产生的这种恐惧。所以呢，他也有一个，他说他有个好朋友，他是来自中国的东北那个地方。那这位女士呢，她在这里有两个饭店，她第二个呢，她准备要开在 Bellevue 开。那她很想去帮助这样的人，所以呢，她就说，她说，哎，她是很想去帮助这样的小企业主，不管你是什么族裔，黑白拉丁裔或者亚裔都可以，她就想去帮助别人。可是让她伤心的是呢，如果就是让他感到伤心的是，就是说在上一届政府，就是特朗普政府这个治理下呢，就产生了一些，就是尤其是在那个阶段有一些仇恨亚裔的情况，或者呢，当时的政府呢说，移民当中有很多是罪犯，移民当中有很多是强奸犯、罪犯等。其实拉丁裔的人，这个移民他不是这样的。那么他说这个病毒啊是中国病毒，那一个由于国家的最高领导发布这样的言论呢，当然就在这个社会当中会引发一些仇恨的现象，那这些都是让他觉得非常伤心。那亚裔和拉丁裔呢，这两个族裔是在 King County 发展最快的两个族裔，人口也是占据在少数族裔当中占据很多，那么我们对亚裔有这样一种印象，刻板的印象，就亚裔的人钱比较多，这个教育就是说比较好，比较注重教育，但是所以他就不希望看到一个上升的亚裔在现在这样的情况会 就是有可能出现就是往下的趋势，这让他觉得非常的焦虑。他觉得在经济上呢，美国是世界就是最强的，中国呢是世界第二，所以这两个最强的国家呢应该有这样的责任心，就是他们是一个世界的标杆，能够帮助全世界的人一起发展。
Let's have a commercial break and we will resume the interview with Mayor of Berlin, Jimmy Mehta.
This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle. The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Chinese Radio Seattle.
声声有情
1150 AM 西雅图中文电台，
这里是您的信息中心，
这里是您的心灵港湾，
这里是您的精神家园，
西雅图华人自己的中文电台。
朋友们也可以在网上收听我们的节目，收听网址是 ChineseRadioSeattle.com，
也可以通过智能手机下载 Chinese Radio Seattle 或者西雅图中文电台 APP 来收听我们的节目。
我们的高清调频频道是 FM 98.9 Channel 3，
我们的微信平台、新浪微博和 Facebook 账号都是 Chinese Radio Seattle。
WEEE 北美最大华人网上身心超市中秋节回馈新老客户，来就送20元大红包，邀请好友双方再得20元，全场优惠半价起，新鲜蔬果、米面肉蛋海鲜、零食饮料、面食点心、美妆保健全都有。We 方便省钱新鲜，网上轻松下单，次日送到家，最佳售后，网上无理由退款。拿起手机立刻下载 APP We WEEE WEEE 注册领取20元红包。
为了庆祝重阳节，西雅图尊贵的纪念提供者自豪地宣布一项特别的优惠，请在有限的时间内利用纪念公园的特别折扣，成为第一个在我们美丽的纪念公园中选择您的空间的人之一。今天就与当地专家一起在 Evergreen Washelli 公墓安排亲自或者远程游览，提前做好最后的安排是您可以留给亲人的最周到的礼物之一，立即计划并省钱，同时让您所爱的人真正安心。要了解更多信息或安排预约，请致电206-362-5200，就是206-362-5200。本广告由 Evergreen Washelli Funeral Home 以及 Evergreen Washelli Cemetery 提供。
欢迎回到我们西雅图中文电台美国故事栏目的节目现场。今天我非常高兴的通过 Zoom 采访到 Berlin 市的市长 Jimmy Mehta。我们也非常感谢陆毅通过Zoom 参加翻译啊。那么刚刚呢Jimmy 就是向我们介绍了他非常传奇的经历啊，从一个危地马拉一个农民的家庭啊，就是来到美国之后从一个木匠成长为一个城市的市长，而且他做了很多的就是帮助可以说是弱势群体的工作也曾经担任过工会的劳工的一个领袖。那么作为市长呢，他更多的还是考虑到那个广大少数族裔还有低收入群体的利益这是非常难能可贵的。我们接下去继续采访杰米市长啊。那么我们知道现在各个城市都有一些挑战，包括无家可归者呀，然后还有削减警察经费啊，还有公共安全。然后我们还想知道杰米您在Berlin市是怎么处理这些刚刚我说的无家可归者、削减警察经费、公共安全这些事情的。
Our cities have been having challenges, and we would like to know your opinion about like issues like police defunding, homelessness, and public safety.
Well, thank you very much. Look, to me, public safety is number one. My father died of a drug overdose in Burien, Washington. So to me, it's personal, you know, when people are suffering from drug abuse. My father had that illness as I was growing up, and I hid the fact that my dad died of a drug overdose. So when people would ask me, because my dad died at 48, what did your dad die of? I would say he died of a heart attack. When I ran for office, you know, people that were going to contribute to my campaign, I had to be truthful, and I had to tell everybody, you know, I want to tell you a story of something that I have not been truthful. And I said, you know, my dad did not die of a heart attack. My dad died of a drug overdose. And I was like breaking the chains, right? Because I was able to share that. I love my father. I am the man that I am because of the words of my father. He used to tell me, Dad, you know, son, there's only three kinds of people in the world. The dreamers, the talkers, and the doers. Who are you? The dad, I'm a doer. And so public safety is very important, you know, because with him, his addiction drove him to do things that weren't really legal. And so when my father would go to jail and come out, you know, he would be able to be a father. But I always knew my dad was going to go back to using drugs because there was nowhere for him to stay. You know, my mom and dad separated. And so I think that we need to lead with services. But, you know, look, we gotta have services. And so for Burien in January, we will be having the fire department and a mental health specialist in the vehicle to help people that are having mental health illness. You know, you can put people in jail with mental health illness. It's not going to help them. We need psychologists. We need doctors for involuntary commitment. I think that, you know, at some point, there's some people in the streets that need medication. On top of that, we need more beds. The Ronald Reagan administration in 1980 started defunding mental health. I mean, started in the 80s, hit the states. The state haven't been funding mental health illness. And so hospitals are closed. And so we, as a local community, have to come up with solutions. Also, in January, we will have another vehicle with an officer and the lead. Lead basically mental health specialist and lead. What lead does is, what people get into trouble, you know, you try to get people out of trouble, right? But I also believe that we have to go after career criminals. Look, if you choose to shoot someone or to deal drugs on the streets, I'm not somebody that can say that I would be supportive of anything like that. On top of that, defunding the police now. I don't think it's defunding the police that we need. I think what we need to do is bring the police to the 21st century. Look, the numbers don't lie. I see Black Latinos are dying under the hands of police officers, but it has to go back to training. We need to figure out what is occurring in training. On top of that, we cannot have a community not respect their police officers. And we cannot have police officers not respect our community. They're public servants. And so we need to set up a system where the police brings the trust back to the department, and the community also responds back in making sure that we understand what kind of policing we want. We want to make sure that everybody wants this. It doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat. When we walk down the streets and the alleys, or we walk down sidewalks, or we walk our children to school, those aren't Republican, Democrat, Socialist, Democrat streets. Those are our streets. Doesn't matter what color you are, we want to be safe for our children to go to school, for us to go to work, for us to, you know, be able to live in a place where we don't feel like we're going to be mugged or robbed. And so I got to tell you, there's some failures in the system that we've had. And it's because, you know, it's a very concerning and scary conversation to have. What are we going to do with mental health illness? And what are we going to do with career criminals? To me, mental health illness, we need doctors, psychologists, we need more people in that kind of realm of work. And when it comes to career criminals, hey, look, we're not going to allow you to put our community in danger, and the behavior you're having at this moment, we're not going to tolerate it. But once we have people in the system, we got to have programs when they come out of the system. Can they find a job? Can they find a home? Can they find a house where there's no drugs being, you know, done in those facilities? On top of that, you know, we got to figure out what the root causes are. There's some people in this country, doesn't matter, they come in white, black, brown, Asian, that are struggling with parents that are addicted to drugs, that are suffering mental health. And on top of that, we've been in a war in Afghanistan for 20 years. We have vets who have served this country who are coming back into our communities. They need houses, they need services, mental health services. You know, if you've never been in war, you wouldn't know, you know, what it is to see blood, to see death. These are soldiers that have fought for this country and our freedom. And we need to make sure that when they come back to our country, that we have housing for them, that we have services for them, that we're able to treat the PTSD they're coming back from. And as you've seen here in the news, lady, you know, we have pulled out of Afghanistan. We have more soldiers coming back, and we need facilities to help them with mental health breakdowns.
对他来说呢，这个公共安全呢，这个是最重要的一个方面。嗯，他说他的自己的父亲呢，就是在48岁那年呢，就是由于过度使用毒品而去世。嗯，他看到人们深受毒品的困扰啊。那么他以前呢，就跟别人说他的父亲是心脏病去世，就心肌梗塞去世，因为他觉得这是一个不光彩的事情。就是父亲是由于过度使用毒品，可是后来他竞选市长呢，他就必须要说真话，说实话，所以呢，他就克服了这个心理障碍，去把真话呢告诉别人。他是很热爱自己的父亲。他的父亲曾经对他说，这个世界上有三种人，一种是梦想家，一种是征服者，还有一种是实干家。那他的父亲说他自己是一个实干家。但是呢，他父亲也做了一些非法的事情，比方说，这个有毒瘾和这个就是一个非法，所以他父亲曾经进过监狱又出来，可他知道自己的父亲肯定又要吸毒，因为他跟自己的母亲也是就是分居了，这个世界好像容不下他父亲，所以呢，他预料到他的父亲又会走向这个吸毒这个事情，所以对他来说呢，他就是精神健康呢非常重要。所以在明年的一月份呢，比如市呢会有一些会启动精神健康方面的一些服务还有一些就是政府官员所参与的启动的这样一些项目，来帮助建构精神健康方面的就是对这些疾病的关注。
Let's have another break.
Okay.
今天 Tom 去打了 COVID 疫苗，这是因为所有年满12岁的人都有资格接种 COVID-19 疫苗。于是 Tom 帮他的姐姐找到疫苗接种的地点，他姐姐把链接发给了自己的闺蜜，闺蜜又分享了这个消息给……好吧，你也知道是怎么回事了。是时候让家人和朋友都知道，疫苗几乎能100%预防因 COVID 带来的住院和死亡风险。抗击疫情，我们做得到。现在即上 vaccines.gov 查询您附近的疫苗接种点。以上资讯由美国卫生及公共服务部提供。
肌肉骨骼伤痛、车祸、工伤，请找康健脊椎治疗中心肖明医师。康健，祝您健康。电话2066217501，2066217501。
Crossings TV Comcast 有线电视 Xfinity 152台。为西雅图华人观众送上豪华中文电视节目大餐，东方新闻、凤凰卫视新闻、非诚勿扰、一站到底、芝麻开门，每天还有精彩电视剧和更多资讯和娱乐节目，请记得收看 Crossings TV Comcast 有线电视 Xfinity 152台。查询详细节目信息，请访问 www.crossingstv.com。
美国故事栏目由高邦地产公司总裁、建筑商胡秀平 Shirley Hu 冠名播出，电话425-443-5668。
欢迎回到我们美国故事栏目的节目现场。那今天我们的嘉宾是 Billings 市的市长 Jimmy Mada。那我们 现在因为有新冠的疫情啊，就是从去年，也就是2020年3月份开始就有新冠疫情。那么现在华盛顿州的那个州政府州长下令，就是有一个 vaccination mandate 啊。那么我不知道，就是 Jamie 在你们那个Bullen 市执行这个强制接种疫苗的这个 mandate 方面有没有什么困难？
We experienced the pandemic. It's been almost two years. Yeah. So we would like to know if you have any trouble issue about mandate the vaccine in your city.
We do. You know, it's been a conversation that we've had in my whole family, right? I think this is a real conversation.And there's a lot of mistrust with government. There's a lot of mistrust with vaccines. But here's the thing. When I was a little kid, well, probably in my teenage years, I was a farm worker. And most of the immigrants that I met had a little circle right here, like a little round circle. And when I was in the field, I didn't have a circle. And I wanted a little circle. So I was going to cut myself to have a little circle because I wanted to be like, you know, everybody else. I didn't know that that was the polo shot.That they had given at one time in Guatemala, right? In Mexico. And so when I was a kid, I'm going, hey, well, why don't I have one? Well, because I didn't live through that era. Same thing with the vaccine. You know, I think that here, as we see the internet, as we read Facebook, as we read, you know, all sorts of different news, it starts becoming a place where I'd say that, things start to be planted in people's mind. It starts becoming a political issue. Look, I don't think that in health, politics should play any part. Now, how do I feel about the vaccine? Well, it's scary. I mean, I didn't want to get the vaccine, but I knew that science has said that the people who have been vaccinated have more possibilities of living. As the statistics have said, Black and brown people, people living in poverty,are dying in bigger numbers. I have 6 of my friends who have passed away of COVID. Very sad. I have some, you know, family that, you know, we had to really have this conversation. Hey, I would really like you to get a vaccine. I love you. I want to see you here a year, 2 years from now. Now, in the city, the council members had to make a decision, and we have mandated the vaccine. It's not a very attractive thing, right? I mean, it's something where people get upset that they have to get their vaccine. I understand. Look, I'm sorry that you're upset at me. You know, but I do believe that this vaccine and mandating the vaccine really, it's a public health issue. You know, just in the newspapers here in several months, we're running out of beds. I just was on a job site where this man almost died of pneumonia.There was no beds available because people that had not been vaccinated have been taking on the majority of the beds in Washington State. Look at Idaho. We had to help Idaho with, you know, they were overwhelmed, their hospital were overwhelmed, and Washington took some of those patients. So I don't think that this pandemic is over. I think we're starting to see the side effects. I feel like our economy is starting to contract.And it's concerning to me. You know, I think that seeing China really tackle the pandemic early on, but even China's having, you know, pushback on the vaccine. There's some people in China who don't want the vaccine, and some of them are being forced, at least by the news, without their will. So, you know, whether that's more propaganda, I don't know, but we know that across the world,And in our country, there's some people that don't want the vaccine. But at the same time, I think we have a responsibility to the entire community and making sure that we provide beds and health as an essential human rights issue. And so we need to make sure that people get vaccinated.
那由于就是说政府对政府的一些不信任呢，他就是现在这个问题呢确实 比较严重了。然后呢，他以前是一个农场工人，在他小的时候，他的朋友就是移民的孩子的朋友，身上都有那些小圆圈，就是注射疫苗的那个留下的疤痕，他自己没有，所以他还刻意的想要留下这些圆圈，要变得跟他的朋友们一样。那现在呢，人们在网上啊，在 Facebook 上就看了很多各种各样的消息嘛。但是呢，他认为在这个疫苗的推行方上面呢，我们应该相信科学，而不要让政治因素了在其中起什么因素，应该让科学让数据说话。说黑人社区啊，一些棕色人种的社区就死亡又比较高，那由于疫情死亡比较高，他有六个朋友呢也是因为疫情而死去，所以呢就是很伤心了。那么作为市政府，作为议会，也就是市议会呢，需要做出决定，所以他们还是决定是要强制疫苗的这个接种。那么可能这不是让人很喜欢的，他也理解你，如果你不喜欢这样的，但是呢，为了公共的健康，为了这个，因为我们现在有些医院都没有床位。他的一个朋友生肺炎，因为没有床位得到治理，都差点死掉。像隔壁的爱德华州什么的，也是就是这个医疗资源非常的紧缺，由于这个疫情的问题，所以呢，他觉得疫情呢已经这么长时间还没有结束呢，在经济上都产生了很大的副作用吧。他看到了经济的紧缩，这样他觉得非常的焦虑。他觉得中国呢早期就比较成功的干预了。这个中国政府啊，就是早期成功干预这个就是控制疫情啊，但是中国现在还是在推行疫苗，所以他认为我们每个人都应该有这个责任心了。当然，我作为政府呢，他希望能够提供床位，能够提供医疗资源，来一起克服这个疫情的问题。所以他还是赞成应该要推行疫苗的强制接种。
您能不能告诉我们华人的选民？他们为什么要投票选您继续竞选贝伦的市议员以及市长？
We know you are running re-election. Can you please tell us, tell the Chinese voters of Buren why they should vote for you?
I think you should vote for me because I'm not only a political official that understands the importance of communities that come here as immigrants to this country. On top of that, I also understand, you know, what this country has to offer, because I'm a prime example of it. Of, you know, if you put your mind to it, you do the hard work, you're going to reap the benefits of the hard work. On top of that, you know, I think it's important, like I'm celebrating the Hong Kong market. I'm celebrating, you know, the Chinese community that's in our community that haven't really had a voice. And so I want them to be at the table. I think it's very important to have all communities at the table. The Chinese community, look, this state, Washington State, Seattle, Washington, it's a hub. Our China has been a great partner in our economy in making sure that Washington State's economy is a strong economy. On top of that, we have a lot of Chinese Americans. We have an economy that's continuing to grow. We're pushing back on, one of the things that I'm very happy is, you know, Burien was known for a place that had a lot of real horrendous crimes, right? Violent crimes. We are now the second safest city in South King County against violent crimes. You know, we've been able to push back on, you know, youth-on-youth violence, graffiti. And that's the biggest challenge that I had when I first was elected, along with my other council members, is how do we confront the challenges when it comes to youth-on-youth violence and shootings on the streets? We were able to push back on that in the graffiti. Here's my commitment for the next 3 years. Look, the number one issue that we have in King County, in the state, and I would say in the world, in the United States, is mental health illness, unsheltered people, and on top of that, our aging population. I was reading an article the other day of our Chinese community, you know, that there's a lot of Chinese restaurants that may become extinct if we don't continue to nurture and to help the economic development of the Chinese community. Imagine, Seattle has been known for the international district Chinese have been influential in our economy, but the aging population could remove the great restaurants that we have because their children are living the American dream. They're going to college, you know, they're going into tech jobs. It's not the restaurant jobs anymore. So to me, it's important that we continue to enrich, to empower and nurture the first generation, second generation Chinese who are coming to Washington, and making sure that they continue to either buy businesses or help those small businesses expand, that where, you know, the owners may be aging and the children don't want to take on those jobs. So in Berrien, there's one thing that I can tell you. There's a community that celebrates our differences. And again, I can't wait to have some of the Chinese leaders, Chinese community members, come and celebrate the Chinese New Year's in Berrien. I think the only way that we can learn how to love each other is by learning from each other. And how beautiful would it be to have Chinese food, Chinese dancing dragons, and history of the importance of the Chinese community in Washington State. And to not forget that the reason that we have the greatest railroad system in this country is because of the Chinese immigrant who came here and built these tracks across the United States.
他因为呢，为什么我们华人社区要选他呢？因为他是一个真正的理解这个社区不同族裔的人，也那么移民，他是对他们有非常了解，因为他们本身他自己的背景也是这样。那他呢，致力于为这些移民社区华人这个移民呢，提供这样的这个发展的机会。只要你努力工作，你就能得到回报。那么他认为各个族裔的人都应该被有机会能够来到这个决定的桌面上，就谈判桌上来参与这个政府的这个决策，这个行使自己的这个权利。所以在经济上呢，这个华人社区是我们西雅图地区经济发展一个非常主要的一个核心，这个主要的力量。那么在他的这个 Berrien 这个城市呢，原来他当市长第一任，就是他当市长前最大的一个挑战呢，就是这个地方犯罪率比较高。那现在呢，已经这个犯罪率已经就是变成了第二大安全城市，这个在这个大区这个 King County。这个，然后呢，他的承诺是，如果他再当市长，他的承诺是，那首先呢，就是精神健康方面，他要在这个里面他要关注。然后第二呢，他要会致力于为无家可归人群提供服务。第三呢，就是亚裔人群这个人口这个发展，因为他觉得这个亚裔人口呢，现在出现了一个下滑的趋势，因为这些人呢去做了一些高科技，就亚裔的人群呢做了一些高科技的工作，他们不再是这个参与饭店的工作啊，这一些行业，而去做一些高科技的企业啊什么。那他希望第一代移民、第二代移民这个亚裔的人群仍然能够得到繁荣和发展这个在他的这个支持下，能够有很多小企业主能够做自己想要做的事在这儿。那么亚裔的孩子能够在这儿接受教育，有工作的机会，所以呢，他非常珍惜和重视这个各个族裔的文化，能够在一起组成我们的大的社区。那他也希望呢，中国或者华人社区的领导呢，领导人呢，带头人能够去别人市一起庆祝中国人的新年。那他觉得就是能够中国的美食、历史或者说歌舞文化放在一起呢，会是多么让人觉得快乐的一个景象啊，
因为时间有限，我们节目已经到了尾声。今天非常有幸的请到 Berrien 市的市长 Jamie Mada 参加我们的节目，也感谢陆一做翻译。在节目的最后， Jamie 能不能给我们听众朋友只说最后一句话？
We're so honored to have you. Thank you very much, Mayor Jamie Mada.At the end of our program, could you please just say one sentence to the Chinese community and the listeners?
Well, I want to first of all thank you, Mr. Su, for this radio time today, and Ms. Yang for you interpreting for me. I think I also want to send a message to our young Chinese children. You know, It is important that we never forget where we come from, that we love our mom and dad for the sacrifice they have made in this country to make sure that we have a future in America where we can speak 2-3 languages. Let's register to vote. Let's vote. Let's make sure that the people we elect are the people that are going to represent us all. Latinos, Asians, poor white people, our African Americans, and our undocumented immigrants that continue to come to a country that provides, you know, the goal of freedom. You know, we have a lot of refugees who want to come to this country, and you know, everybody needs an opportunity, right? But again, it's an honor to be here with the Chinese radio station today and tonight, and to be around two great leaders of our community who keep our community informed and make sure that the news is never lost and that music and tradition is never lost. So thank you so much to both of you.
谢谢。那他说很感谢我们的电台，很感谢我们的听众。那他想希望向我们的华人听众呢传递这样一个消息，就是请你们不要忘记我们是从哪里来，不要忘记感恩我们的父母。那么在为了建议他，希望大家呢都能够去注册这个选民资格，然后呢去投票，去选上投上你这个珍贵的一票。那么你要选出一个人，他这个人能够代表所有的人，能够代表拉丁裔、亚裔、非裔、非法移民和难民和一些白人当中贫穷的人士，就是他能够选出一个代表，能够为我们所有的群裔和族体来说话。
非常感谢 Jimmy 参加我们的节目，谢谢陆毅的翻译，也谢谢各位听众朋友收听，祝大家晚安。
Thank you for being with us. Good night.
Sure. Good night.